First, agree with much of what you said, and I have answers to both of these questions, but I wanted to continue on the last comments because I think that they're so important. That there is, of course, a military character to space, and I think what we're charged with here is to make sure that the particular characteristics of space, so, which are somewhat different than the seas or air, characteristics such as fast timescales, vulnerability, do not exacerbate the risks in this space environment, that we don't, by choices that we make in military postures or agreements, we don't enhance the idea that a state may feel they must use or lose their space capabilities and speed up reaction times. And things that can do that, of course, include stockpiling of anti-satellite weapons. If you perceive that these valuable assets that you have in space are always at risk because there is an unconstrained development of anti-satellite weapons, and you have something very valuable in space, and no breaks in between, no reliable regular communication channels between important spacefaring actors who use space for military purposes. We don't have mutually understood rules for behavior in space. How close is too close, for example? Then small things can become big things. So those low-hanging fruits, of course, include communications channels, space surveillance capabilities that have a shared picture across countries who agree on what's happening in space. We don't have blind spots there. That states actually, and a piece of that is states understand that it would be very difficult for them to do things in space that would not be seen or detected by others. So this mention of sometimes things happen in space that people contest. We said this happened, we deny this happened. It's very challenging, actually. And Dimitri mentioned amateur satellite space watchers. A lot of things get detected, even if you prefer not to say what was going to happen. So I think that that's a more stable future. And again, understanding that there are certain types of satellites which are especially high risk for conflicts, including national technical means and other satellites which can provide stabilizing purposes, that we may consider having special rules around interference of types with those satellites. So those are maybe not low-hanging fruit, maybe to me, because I'm not sitting in your seats having to hammer out agreements, but I think that there are things that could really contribute. So I would urge you to really consider those. And I think and to continue there, the difference between, or the interplay between soft law and treaty law, of course, once you make these agreements, nobody's going to join a treaty that's against their interests or they don't think are good rules. So jumping to the hard law and the top down, I think you can get stuck. And I see we have been getting stuck. So I think soft law and agreements can build the trust necessary to build a more durable long-term agreement, which I understand very well that is the preferred mechanism for some states. That's the most comfortable and reliable place. But I think I would hope that we bring all seriousness to the soft law development, because I think, if countries have to engage their stakeholders in their countries, their industrial, military, strategic people, to take these soft law negotiations seriously, then I think that helps the robustness and the durability of the soft law agreements that might eventually become treaty law. Some of them aren't really appropriate for that. And then, of course, with respect to space-based missile defense, it's been a specter for very long. I agree. I don't think it's militarily very useful. It'll be very expensive for all the reasons I mentioned in my remarks. And I also think, there's, of course, this balance, the idea that there are anti-satellite weapons that may be used to limit the development of space-based interceptors makes it a non-starter. That's, again, probably not a popular thing to say, but I think it's the reality. You could not assemble a system with hundreds of interceptors and expect it to be well maintained for the future would be very expensive, and to be free from threats. So I just don't think, I understand how provocative it can be and how threatening it can be, but I just don't think it's militarily going to be useful, and I don't think it should drive the conversations. Thank you.
I thank Dr. Gregor for her